This is Carolyn Cromings, and welcome to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we talk about everything related to contractors, construction, and information to help you run better businesses. Hey guys, and welcome to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast. My name is Carolyn Cromings, and I wrote a book called Quit Getting Screwed. If you haven't read it, you should really check it out. It's available on Amazon, and it's all about negotiating and understanding the very one-sided subcontract. Also with that, I've developed the Subcontractor Institute, where I teach all 20 of the chapters, all of the important stuff like pay when paid clauses, you know, bid versus scope, all of those things I teach for free with 80 or 90 free downloadable forms. So head over to subcontractorinstitute.com and sign up for free. Also there you'll find, if you want to know what your contract means before you sign it, you can upload it and we'll review it for you and tell you what it means and what you're agreeing to. And that way, either, you know, the information's there, you can do it yourself, or you can hire us for a very affordable price with a maximum 5-day turnaround. So we can tell you what the contract means before you sign it, so you evaluate the risk before you head into a project. So at the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, it's all about helping you run a better business in the construction industry and things, you know, to watch out for so you don't get screwed. And so one thing that's a hot topic recently is the increased material costs. Okay, and so why do you even need to be concerned about increased material costs? Okay, so there's a couple of things. If you sign a contract that doesn't allow you to charge for unexpected increased material costs, you generally won't be able to recover those increased costs. Meaning, like, say you signed a contract in late 2019 or early 2020 that said you were going to do all this electrical work for $30,000, right? But the job didn't actually start because of COVID till later in 20 or early 21. And now the material price has like gone up over 100%, but you don't have anything in that contract that allows you to either back out because it's been too long because you haven't started, or recover those increased material costs. You're going to be screwed. I mean, literally, you can't, even if you decide not to perform the contract, whoever hired you can come back and say, hey, you agreed to do this work for X price, you know, for $30,000, and you didn't do it, and I had to hire somebody else, and it cost me $60,000. You're now on the hook for that extra $30,000 because you promised to do the work for this price. And so when you walk into any contract, this needs to be consideration that's thought about in any job, because if you don't, this is the position you're going to get yourself in. So giving yourself some outs if these things happen at any point in time, not only now, learn it now, and then hopefully it won't become an issue, but you have to give yourself some leeway in the contracts that you sign. So there's a couple different things to think about. You got, what should I put in my bid to prevent this? What do I do if I already signed a contract, but I haven't started working? What do I do if I'm in the middle of the project and it's become evidently clear that the material costs are huge and I don't know if I'm going to be able to recover it? What should I do before I sign a contract? These are all things that we're going to go over and kind of give you a game plan on what to do in a real life situation, and, you know, help on the legal side as well. I've written some great blog articles that go right in line with this. If you want to know more, the link to those will be in the show notes. So let's start with, I've signed a contract, I haven't started yet, and material costs are, you know, 60% over what they were when I signed this contract. What do I do? Okay, so before you start work, let the general contractor or owner, whoever hired you, know that, hey, I can no longer honor this price in this contract because the material costs have increased substantially. I need X more dollars. Before you get started, have this conversation. And they're going to come back with, yes, we can give you some. Yeah, no, we can't give you any. And you can decide, you know, or we can give you a portion, or yes, we can give you all. And if you got somebody that's willing to work with you, work with them on that. Maybe you can't get 100% of what you're requesting, but you can get something, which is better than nothing. If they say no, okay, no, I'm not going to give you any money, even though your material costs have increased over 100%. Okay, so then you take your contract that you signed to a lawyer and find out what your rights are legally. Is there some provision in your contract that can be read that say, oh, if this unexpected event happens, you can request and legally be awarded your increased material cost? some other things to think about. How much money will you lose if you went forward and did the contract anyways? To not end up in a lawsuit might be worth it. Another strategy you could take, but I would let your material supplier in on this in the front end, and you're opening yourself up to liability too, is that if you know your material supplier can file a lien for the materials that they supplied, but you want to let them know that this is your strategy going forward. Whoever hired you could still come after you for that difference after they pay the lien or the material supplier. So these are all options to look at. You know, it might not be worth it if you're going to lose so much money to go forward on the job. And then you're just going to have to take the risk that maybe they're going to come back and sue you for what it cost them extra. Being in that tough situation is why we add these things in on the front end. And, you know, the same thing is if you already signed contract and you're already working and it's becoming abundantly clear that the increased material costs, you can't afford to finish the project. Get everything together, submit for a change order to the general contractor owner, and let them know, hey, I can't finish the project for this price anymore because the inflated material costs. See what they say back. If they say no, then get with your attorney and figure out the best plan that you can to, you know, either finish the job, find a provision in the contract that maybe would allow you to recover at least the cost, you know, maybe nothing above that on your increased material costs. But the best thing you can do in a situation like this is build something in your contract before you sign them. So what do you want to put in a contract before you sign it that would protect you from these things? There's some exact language in the blog articles, but the main thing you're going to want to put in is a provision that says, hey, if my materials increase more than 2% during this project, I'm allowed to be paid for that increase, whatever that is. So if it's 2 or 3%, whatever works for you, put that in there so that they know that if this increase happens, that you're going to let them know, but they're going to have to pay you for this increase. And you could build in there that, you know, I'm not going to move forward until the materials are purchased and the increase is already paid, whatever that looks like. But the main thing is to have it written on the front end so everybody knows what to expect. What happens if you don't put it in there is potentially you're going to have to do the work and you're going to have to eat the increased material cost if you don't put this provision in there. And so now this is a really relevant topic, but it's always something you should include because you can't control, you know, what things are going to do in the future, unless, of course, you have bought everything already and it's just sitting in your warehouse. So you have a really fixed price, then you're good. So put that provision in your contract before you sign it. Another thing that to consider is what happens if you can't get workers? What happens if we go into quarantine again or there's a labor shortage or you just never know? So we need to build something in your contract that will give you extra time to complete your work if something like that happens. In normal contracts, these provisions are referred to as force majeure. Probably saying it wrong because it's French. I just like to title it, what happens when things happen that the parties can't control? And so building into that contract that if something happens, you can't get people, that you get extra time. Because if you don't complete on time in accordance with the schedule that's in that contract, for whatever reason, if it's not excusable under the contract, you're still going to face delay damages for not finishing on time. So build yourself in some protections that if things like that happen that you cannot control, that you get extra time and will not face delay damages. So that's another thing to make sure to put in there. Like I said, there's some exact language in the blog articles that you can add. And here's the thing, guys. When you get a subcontract over or any contract over, what they send over is their first offer. When contracts are involved, there's always supposed to be a negotiation, especially on a subcontract. Like attorneys draft things so one-sided for their client because they know that there's going to be a negotiation. And when that doesn't happen, you end up with these one-sided, horribly written subcontracts. So, you know, push back on these provisions. And, you know, there's some things you can learn and you'll be willing to take the risk on. You can't take all the risk. You can't take all the risk of increased material costs. You can't take all the risk of not being able to find guys to work the job or can't work because there's quarantine. I mean, that's just not reasonable. And so know what those risks are. Know how to protect yourself the best that you can so you can make an informed decision. Another way to protect yourself is when you do your bid. Okay, so you review all of the specs, the plans, all of that, put together your price. Obviously, you're going to do an itemized bid because that's what makes most sense. And you're going to say, you know, at the bottom of your bid that this price can only be honored for 72 hours. After that, it's withdrawn because you'll have to rebid because of increased material costs. You can also put in there that it's subject to any increased material costs over 2%. You know, the bid is, I give it to you this date, but I can't guarantee whenever you sign off on it that it's going to be the same price. So these are things that you need to be upfront about with whoever you're working, whether that's residential or commercial, saying, hey, this is an unprecedented market right now, and there may be increased material costs or there may be increased labor costs that I can't eat as a small business. You know, I have got to build myself some protection in there. And this is just a small portion of the negotiations that need to happen, right? There's always a pushback. Well, if I put this in here, then I won't get the work. You know, guys, sometimes it's not meant to be, and somebody else can take that risk. But if you're at the point where they've already reviewed your bid, they're sending you a contract, they think you're capable, it's worth it to them to work with you. And so use that to your advantage. And here's the other thing, too, is that when you're in this negotiation, most people, you know, the project managers you're dealing with don't realize all the provisions that are in the contract or the effect of them. And so if you just point it out with, hey, this provision says that no matter how much material costs go up, that I can't get the difference. And that I can't sign that as a small business. My employees are counting on me to do the right thing. And if I sign us up for this job and I can't get the potential increased material cost, it could put us out of business and they don't get a paycheck. And I can't do that as a boss. If you come at it like that, and reasonable in the ways you can't sign it, then they can probably get it changed. But you can't just not say anything. We'll never get these contracts changed if nobody stands up and says anything. And so in that same line, what there's going to be a lot of out there right now is going to be guaranteed maximum price contracts, or GMPs. That's what GMP means, guaranteed maximum price. And what is the intent of that? The intent of that is to nail you down to a specific price. No matter what, you're going to finish this project or your scope of work for this price. And what is that attempting to do? That's attempting to make you eat any increased material costs. So, you know, you got a couple options. Don't sign it. Add in language that would allow you to, you know, increase your material cost if that arises, which would then not make it a GMP. Or just put your price so high that you'd be covered at whatever the increased material cost would be. Obviously, if an owner decides to build, right, who should take the risk of the increased material costs? I don't think it's fair to put it on the general or sub that if they decide to build in this market that you should eat the cost. It's only fair if they decide to move forward with their project at this point in time that they realize that there are things out there happening that are way beyond our control and it's going to increase their project cost. So they can either wait or they can pay more and go now. But let's have the upfront conversation that they realize that this is a possibility. Obviously, it's not fair to sign a contract that says you do it for a certain price and then in the middle of it be like, oh, wait, no, I didn't expect this, but material increased in cost and now I want more money. Most likely, unless your contract allows for it, the answer is going to be no. And so what does that mean for you? It depends, right? How much it costs them to finish it above and beyond your contract amount and whether they want to come after you for that difference. So same thing like, when you get terminated, you don't get just to walk away. Potentially, they can come after you for the difference of what you promised them to do the work for and what it actually cost them. So these are really big issues that need to be addressed on the front end, part of the negotiation of the contract before you sign it. All of the 20 chapters that I teach about Quit Getting Screwed are about this negotiation that needs to start happening if we want to change the industry, is that the contract that's sent over is not necessarily the one that you have to sign. And trust me, there, especially if you work with the same company for years, they want to keep you. They don't want to have to go find somebody else to do the same work and not know if they're going to answer the phone or do the right thing. If you've been working with somebody for a while, they're going to want to keep you. And that's the thing. You want to be able to push back on these provisions, give the best customer service possible. Where yes, your price is a little higher and you're not going to agree to anything unfair, but your service is so phenomenal that you'll be hired just because of that. And it doesn't really matter what the contract price is. So, you know, if you want to be able to have some leverage, that's it. And if you have great customer service, you don't have to take every job. You know, a job has got to make sense and not be overly risky for your company to take it. And why would you want to go work for somebody else and not make any money? There's no point in going to work if you're not going to get paid and get paid what you're worth. So, you know that going in. And right now, you know, there's enough construction out there where you can be picky on the jobs you take, especially in the residential market. So if your gut feels wrong about it and it's not what you want, tell them no. Tell them no. You'd much rather be comfortable in your decision and go that way. And, you know, you never know what happens. But what I can tell you, when I tell somebody no, they want me to do the work twice as bad. So just keep that in mind. And that also give you leverage to charge more money. And that's on the commercial side. And the same thing goes on a residential side. If you're being hired on a residential remodel or repair and they're signing your contract, make sure your contract allows you to recover increased material costs. It gives you extra time under the schedule of your project if things happen that you can't control. So these things work both commercially and residentially. If you have a contract that you're having your customer sign, make sure you know what it says and that you understand it. If not, give me a call. I can give you one that's pretty easy that you can understand, your clients can understand. You know, be upfront about change orders, increased material costs. There's a lot less disputes if everybody understands on the front end what they're agreeing to. Like I say, if you want to not get in a dispute, you need to properly manage expectations. And how does that happen? With a clearly written and understandable contract. So guys, I hope this is helpful. Like I said, if you're looking for the exact language to put in your contracts, go to my blog articles, copy and paste it, reuse it. Just make sure you protect yourself now more than ever, but all the time you should have these provisions built in. You can find me at the Cromings Law Firm, subcontractorinstitute.com. Give me a call if you have any questions. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to this episode of Quit Getting Screwed. I hope you found it helpful. If you like what you hear, please like us and follow our podcast. If you want further information, you can find us at subcontractorinstitute.com. We're also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And the book is available on Amazon. Tune in 2 weeks from now for a new episode. Thank you.